It's All Things Considered on 91.9 FM WUOT. I'm Hannah Martin. Alias Grace tells the story of a young woman serving a life sentence for murders she says she doesn't remember committing. I spoke with playwright Jennifer Blackmer about the task of bringing the tale to the stage. I'm so glad to be joined by Jennifer Blackmer today in the studio. She is the playwright behind Alias Grace. That show premiered at Chicago's Rivendell Theater in 2017 and now is here in Tennessee. Ms. Blackmer, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
So first and foremost, let's talk about the story of Alias Grace. Give our audience, or our listeners rather, an idea of what this is about.
Well, I've been obsessed with Margaret Atwood's books since Handmaid's Tale came out when I was 16 years old. And I read it a couple of years after that. And as somebody who loved books, I was actually working in a bookstore when Alias Grace came out. And as somebody who had grown up, you know, reading as much as I could and loving books, it was the first time I had experienced a story that was directly about me being female in a particular time and place. And so, as everybody knows now, I mean, it's this really powerful series on Hulu, and people are responding to it, and it seems to be relevant in a way I think Atwood herself was surprised by, sadly. But so I was following, when I graduated from college, my day job was at Borders Books and Music. May they rest in peace. they were great to me in my 20s. And I was a bookseller when Alias Grace came out. And I literally was unpacking boxes of books and putting them on the shelf. And I looked at this and I was like, oh, yeah, Margaret Atwood. I loved Handmaid's Tale. And so we had a program at the time where we could check out books. And so I checked it out, took it home, started reading it, didn't put it down for 2 days. And I just read and read and read and became really obsessed with how well she took a real event, which Grace Marks was a real woman in Canada who was accused of these grisly crimes. And she spun a fiction out of it that was powerful and it was beautiful and it played with structure and it played with ambiguity. And you never know any more about Grace than you did when you started. And yet you've been on this journey, right? So it is this beautiful book about just the complexities of human beings, particularly the complexities of women. And so I read it and loved it and thought, wow, what a great book. And I return to it every so often, you know, just to reread it. Or then I read everything else she wrote and just became kind of a hardcore fan. Fast forward a decade or so, and I am teaching playwriting and directing at Ball State University, where I have my sort of day job now. And producer, who is a friend of our department chair, was invited to campus, and he sat through one of my playwriting classes. And afterwards, we started just chatting, and he said, do you have any sort of books or any intellectual property that you've really been interested in maybe adapting for the stage or seeing if it would work? And immediately, without even mentally debating about this, I just jumped onto Alias Grace. And he said, well, why? What is it about this particular story? And I said, well, it is a story about a woman, which is, you know, sadly lacking in the theater today. We're getting better, but really complicated and interesting female protagonists are a little bit difficult to find. And to be honest, I mean, in the structure of the story, Grace herself is not the protagonist, but she is the most interesting character in the piece. So I knew that there would be an amazingly sort of juicy role for a wonderful actress in this. And then there's an intimacy, I think, to the primary relationship in the story, which is between Grace and her psychiatrist. And, you know, psychiatry, Freud wasn't around at this time. It was a brand new thing that was being explored. And so he doesn't know what he's doing either. So you got this really sort of fraught relationship at the middle of very unusual story that is both contemporary and historical. So I started just going on and on about how much I love this book and how much I thought it would make a really great play. And about 6 weeks later, I'm at home with my then very young children, and I get a call from Los Angeles. I'm like, I don't know anybody in Los Angeles, so I let it go to voicemail. It turned out to be Brian. He said, if you're interested in doing the Atwood adaptation, I have the rights. And so, you know, that is a whole other story in itself, because this is the first time Margaret has given the stage rights.
You know, it's amazing that Margaret Atwood is as flexible with this story as she is. You're mentioning that there are changes from what's happened with the book in terms of how you've adapted it to the stage. There are certainly some adjustments made in the series on Netflix. What does it feel like to have her permission to take this and run with it?
She's one of my literary heroes because of the way she works with language as well as her worldview. And so to be entrusted with it is pretty phenomenal. And when I first started working on the project, I tried to be very literal about the translation of the book to the play. And we did a very, very early in-process reading at Ball State with some students and some friends, and it was just a very informal thing. I want to say there were 23 characters.
Wow.
The cast outnumbered the people who had come to see the reading. And it was also like 3.5 hours long. Adaptation is it's a skill that I've been working on with this process, definitely. And, you know, the fact that I have the freedom to be a writer, to be a creative artist in this process has been completely liberating. So those folks who are familiar with the book, when they go and see the play, there are some really obvious differences. There are some really specific changes that fans of the book point out right away. But the cool thing is that the general comments I've received from people who are familiar with both is that the roots of the play are entirely what Atwood intended for the story. And so that was the task, right?
To
take the themes and ideas and the sort of meat of the story itself and translate that.
What a huge testament to your work to know that people are saying, no, you still have the nuts and bolts in here, even though you've done your own unique twist on it. You mentioned that, you know, of course, this has been on Netflix. The same is true of The Handmaid's Tale. Is there an added challenge in adapting the book to the stage when you're also competing in the digital age with Netflix and there being this completely different way of having the story presented to the public?
Yeah, absolutely. But I will say, this is a confession, I have not yet seen the Netflix series.
All right, well, since we're doing confessions, yeah. I will say I've been familiar with this story for years. I've never read the book, but I did watch the Netflix series.
There you go. So that is the way, you know, it's funny, since over the last few years, I've had the opportunity to expand my work into film and television. And it is so, the conversations that are going on around storytelling right now are really exciting because there are so many different opportunities. There's so many different mediums that you can explore. And particularly with the way television, you know, they're calling it the golden age of television. It's more or less the golden age of streaming because we've, you know, binge stories now in ways that were just not available to us even 5 years ago. So yes, but I don't look at it as, oh my God, people are not going to see the play because they're seeing the Netflix series. What happens is that people who are fans of Atwood are fans of Atwood, right? So they'll see the series, they read the book, and they see the play. And all three of them have a very, very different feel. And like I said, I haven't seen the series yet. I was waiting until this production opens because I did not want, and sort of going back to the question you asked earlier about, you know, how do you do an adaptation? I didn't want what they did with the Netflix series to influence what I was doing in any way. So I literally haven't seen it. And it's very, very different from folks I know who have seen both and reacted to the play and the series, is that there's a very different tone to the series, which you can do when you're telling the story over, I think there's 6 episodes. Mm-hmm. I think so. You're telling the story over 6 hours as opposed to my adaptation, which is telling the same basic story in 2.
Yeah.
So that's a very different kind
usually
of thing.
Condensed.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that strikes me about Alias Grace is that it's psychologically exhausting. I mean, it's interesting,
mm-hmm.
but
oh, yeah.
Especially you mentioned earlier in the interview that the therapist has no idea what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And Grace is dealing with her own demons, if you will, mm-hmm. and kind of going back and forth in her own mind. And you made this wonderful point that by the end of it, you still don't really know
yeah.
much about Grace. And
yeah.
at least from what I experienced in watching the Netflix series and in knowing the story, I was almost irritated that I didn't have a better understanding of, I don't know, whose side to take, if you will.
Yeah.
What's that like in terms of your work with the story and the cast work with the production? Do you feel that it's psychologically draining? Do you guys get frustrated with the fact that you have to do a lot of digging to kind of figure out what to believe in?
Yeah. And the actors have to make choices that are not necessarily in the text that the audience will be aware of, right? And so that is a really tricky balancing act as a playwright, because you have to be specific, but you also have to allow for the ambiguity that is what really lies at the heart of the story. And for me as a writer, I love that. I totally think that those are worlds that I have so much fun playing in. And yet it is very just technically difficult, because it's very easy to just say, all right, here's the deal, here's the truth, and we're going to tell the story the way it is.
Right.
And in this instance, everybody's truth is different.
Yes.
And everybody's trying to get to a different result. You know, Grace has what she wants. Simon has what he wants. Everybody in their orbit are all trying to do and get different things, and they all hinge around Grace. And her truth is not the same truth as the other people in this orbit. And so that, of course, mirrors the human condition in such a huge way that it makes us question, and these are questions I love to ask. I mean, it drives my husband crazy, but I love to ask these questions, like, do we really know who another person is? Can we know who another person is? And we spend a great deal of time as human beings trying to do just that. And at the end of the day, you know, you can go through a huge experience with another human being and still not know them. And it's both frustrating and, for me, I think it's exhilarating as well, because we are such unique beings. And so the art of the theater for me is about reaching out for those connections, and then you make those connections, but then they go away and then they come back. And then it's a very sort of fluid method of storytelling that mirrors the way we are in the world.
You've acknowledged that your production is different from the book, but have you adjusted the play since it's hit the stage? Do you make tweaks here and there?
Playwrights are notoriously bad at that. I honestly, this will be its third production. We did a workshop of it at Ball State University with students, which was just extraordinary. And when you're working with students, they approach the material with such a sort of positive, open attitude that was really amazing, in that we could get a lot of questions answered, and we could, along with the students, sort of explore a lot of places in the script that were new to them and new to us. And so it was a sort of beautiful way to begin this process. And then when we went up to Chicago, we had seasoned, experienced actors, which, you know, they had a ton of life experience to sort of bring into the mix.
Right.
So I did a lot of work in the midst of the Chicago production, sort of taking a lot of the basic stuff that we did at Ball State and really refining it. And by the time we got to the end of that process, the play was probably 3/4 of the way finished, because we ran out of time for me to get to some of the things that I really thought the script needed. And so the gift of this production now is, it feels like a culmination to me in so many ways, because Clarence Brown Theater is legendary, and then we've got the students who are also participating in it, and it's a whole new audience. And I had the opportunity to revisit in the script those things. And they were really specific, like the ending. I wanted to make that better, more profound, right?
Right.
And so they were really specific tasks that I was able to take in and work on. So I am really excited to see. I haven't seen it yet. So I mean, by the time this airs, I will have seen it.
Right.
So, but I get to see it tonight. And I'm really excited to see how those changes work.
You have mentioned your love of asking questions about sort of the human condition, and do we really understand other folks? And there's tons of room to explore within Alias Grace, but if you could choose one aspect of the show, whether it's the costumes or a particular angle, one aspect of the show that you think, that is my favorite thing about being the playwright of this particular story.
One of the metaphors of the story is quilting. And the different chapters of the novel are different quilt patterns, and Grace is quilting as the story unfolds. And so there is, in both of the productions I've seen, and I've also seen photos of the one I'm getting ready to see tonight, that have, they're soft, and it's fabric, and it's a, my mother was a quilter, and so it is a female language. And to be able to see that represented in a space with an audience is really exciting to me.
Jennifer Blackmer is the playwright behind Alias Grace. It's running now at the Clarence Brown Theater through Sunday, October 14th. Ms. Blackmer, thank you so much for joining me in the studio today.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure. Thanks.